Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley field. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know all righteous men will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my hand. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we're living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in whipping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley field. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in a lake which burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything of a life between me and you, God, help me to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of the way.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Tite 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Testing, 1, 2, testing. Testing. All right, we're trying something again. Anybody get it? Now we got it. All right. Glory to the King. Oh, wonderful. Now we're getting 10. There was a glitch, obviously. All right. Thank you all for your patience. Let me see if I can get rid of this echo effect. All righty. Thank you, Brother Sean, for your help. Brother Sean to the rescue, Manny. Well, Brother Caleb there sent me all this technical information, so we saved the show. Thank you all. Glory to the King. Well, hey, we are back after, what, a half-hour delay? Almost a half-hour delay? Yeah, well, glory to the King. So this message is going to go out tonight. Again, appreciate all your patience for hanging in there. And as... y'all aware, this is Elder Becker, Elder Douglas Becker. Sometimes they call me Elder Doug, sometimes they call me Elder Becker, but either way, I'll answer to both. Glad to have y'all on the show tonight on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Well, wow, what a busy night. Well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm sure y'all really, I don't know who wouldn't have enjoyed yesterday's message from the Shepherd, Spirit of Jezebel. Man, that thing was so powerful. I listened to it again this morning, and I plan on trying to get a listen to it at least two more times, because if, like Pastor said right at the beginning, this thing covers everybody. It doesn't exempt anybody. And, you know, you technically hear the thing, something like Jezebel. And, you know, you like Pastor said last night or during the Sabbath service, that's why you say it covers everybody, because when we hear Jezebel, automatically we think it's just doing with the women. But, no, it's true. Women or men can have the Jezebel spirit as well. So I'm looking forward to part two. But tonight we're going to talk about natural relations as in the context of what the created purpose or intent of human beings were in regard to sexuality. And the reason I'm even doing this blog talk tonight in this manner, you know, we already know as Israelites what is acceptable and what isn't. At least we should know. But there was a, I'll just fill you in quick about something that happened back, I don't know, I guess about 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I kind of lose track of time, but there was a younger woman that I used to communicate with. They used to call her, ask questions. And as she was searching, as she came out of a very difficult past, very difficult background, she kind of dropped off the map for a while. So you know, whatever they call that. And ended up resurfacing some weeks ago. and she's been married now. She got an Israelite husband, but this is a whole different assembly. Well, there was a situation that was going on this particular assembly. They're out someplace, I believe in Nebraska, around TJ Eric's area. And something that was really disturbing to her, so it appears her husband couldn't provide a satisfactory answer. They both knew that what had been proposed to them was wrong, was against Torah. But in a lot of cases, what happens is because the Torah doesn't spell out things verbatim, you're going to find those that, especially if they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, trying to exploit or use the fact that it's not written down there verbatim and use it to their own destruction, wrestling the scriptures or no scriptures to their own destruction. And other ones that allude to, you know, areas that we shouldn't be going into, well, they'll explain them another way or use something else to try to triumph or trump what may be indicating that the act is wrong. And what I'm talking about is this young woman that I spoke to. The question she had proposed to me is that there was apparently another couple, or there was a man, an Israelite man, who was had multiple wives in polygyny, but he had either spoken to his wives and one of them went to him and informed him that, you know, or he had told them that, whatever the case, I don't remember exactly what it was, but what it came down to is, in order for the two wives together, three wives, whatever, to get closer together, they believed that they actually got intimate, I mean sexually intimate, as in lesbianism, that this would bring the family, but it was acceptable because they were Israelites, because they were using the guise that there was no text to clearly spell out the fact that it was unlawful. You know, like you get, you know, man shall not lie with mankind. This is an abomination. Well, clearly that's spelled out verbatim. And, you know, anybody that lies down with a beast, they shall be put to death. That's laid out, you know. So when it comes to, you know, even though Romans 1 talks about it because it's not in the Torah, then they can explain in a way like it was acceptable because it wasn't explicitly pointed out, which was a big lie. So she asked if I would make something out or write something up that as far as Straightway stands on the subject and how Straightway presents it. And really we've talked about it here, but we've never really gone in depth because there was no need to, because coming into this ministry, you already know the things that are defiled, the things that are wrong and abominable in the sight of the Most High. So we may touch on it here and there, but it isn't really something that has to talk about because as part of our culture, we already know that it's unacceptable and it's an affront to the Most High. And so I agreed to it. I said I would. And it kind of astounded me. I don't know if this assembly has leadership. I don't know if they have elders. If this is just a bunch of people that get together for Shabbat and do their own thing, their own Torah thing or whatever. I don't know. But her husband apparently couldn't provide a good enough answer because these women who had this idea that they could become closer as a family and as two wives by joining themselves together sexually, laying together sexually, were presenting it to this young lady that I was speaking to, trying to win her over to the same idea, the same mindset they had developed. So what I'm doing tonight, what I'm talking about tonight, I add a little bit more to what I sent her. I took some out what I sent her, but the percentage of what we'll be talking about tonight is what I sent to her. And what I got back from her was that it was extremely helpful and it opened up a lot of, you know, understanding. I don't know whatever happened after the fact. I don't know if it ever was able to, you know, deal with the hearts and minds that ever got presented to these two women or three women, whatever, that were in polygyny that even brought this to her. I have no idea, but she said it was very helpful. So I figured I'm just going to go ahead and I already had it mostly done. So that's why we're coming this way tonight. So with that, and Brother Ugly is not going to be in the room tonight because he's having computer problems as he did all weekend. They're something going on up in that neck of the woods up in Canada. The internet is not functioning, so he will not be in the room tonight to post the scriptures or post the definitions, whatever. So, you know, if you want to write them down, you know, that's perfectly fine. Something you choose to do, go back and look at it later, or get your Bibles out or whatever. Just go along. I'll try to take it slowly. So if you do decide to use your word, that you can. So with that, we're going to get started. Again, the title of this study, the Blog Talk study, is called Natural Relations. All right, all natural relations and their purpose were created in the beginning and have not changed, nor ever will change, from the original purpose. The Bible is quite clear on the matter of homosexuality, bestiality, and incest, but it doesn't appear to give concrete wording concerning acts of lesbianism or women with women. Even though it's there, it's not, like I said, in verbatim. And because it's not there, the people, even now, if, you know, because the Bible clearly condemns homosexuality, they still will try to justify it, like using things like, you know, David and Jonathan loved each other greater than the love that they, you know, a man would have for a wife, stuff like that. So, but being this isn't there, nothing about in Torah about two women, I mean, they'll exploit the mess out of this, right? But the disturbing thing is, this was actually brought up in somebody that says they're an Israelite. That's what really was disturbing about. And this spirit will, if it can get a foot in the door, it's that powerful of an influence. You know, sexual perverted spirits have that type of, you know, subtlety, that kind of presentation, that lust that causes people to, you know, to ponder, to stop and think and meditate on stuff, especially out in the world. We see so much of it. So we do everything that we can to cut it off, you know, right at the neck immediately, because we'll not allow these foul, wicked spirits, you know, in this righteous people that Yah has. You will never find anyone anywhere attempting to justify relations between a man and a woman. And simply I say that because there is no justification. There's no need to justify that which was established at creation. You don't. Nobody ever says anything about, you know, a husband and a wife getting together, right? Can somebody block this piece of crap? What in the world? Block. I hope that did it. I had a dog come in here. Unbelievable. How do I get out of this thing? Alrighty. Oh, you weird damn devil. All right, y'all, you have to forgive me. I do not know what's going on here. Some dog got in the chat room, and Brother Ugly isn't in here, so I'm trying to get rid of this thing. All right. No, is that not working? I can't see the chat, so. Oh, Jesus. Unbelievable. All right, I got to get moving on with this thing. I don't know what I did. I can't read the chat because I did something that trying to block that dog. But oh, Father, help me. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. I can't see what's going on, but we'll just have to deal with it. As long as you all can hear me, If I ever lose connection, somebody be kind enough to text me. All right. Anyway, glory to the King. So, what I was saying was that, yeah, Brother Sean, he probably would be a good backup. Absolutely. So what I was saying was that, you know, because a man and woman were meant from creation to be together, to be joined together, nobody will ever, you know, argue against that or push against that. There's just nothing there. There's never no reason to bring it up because it's a natural, created, established order. So, but you have all these what they call alternative lifestyles, and then there's all kinds of government interference. They have to go to the governments of this world to get licensed to commit such abominations and atrocities. You find out that because it's not in the natural created order of Yah, these things are the things that are defended openly, and they're searched for to justify the existence or the allowance of these things. I hope I'm making sense. That's why they call them alternative lifestyles. And that's funny. It's interesting. I left the word alternative on, I think it was a internet dictionary. And in the adjective form, not the noun form, but the adjective form, it says that I don't know how to block this guy. Ban. Yeah, he keeps coming up. I don't know how to get him out of the room, but I'm going to try something once. All right, I'm back on shot and chat. Oh, my God. Anyway, glory to the King. All right, y'all, I don't know how to do the moderator stuff and none of that, so we're just going to have to get on without this. There's been a hell of a lot of problems so far, ain't there? All right, thank y'all. You're going to have to slow down your text, though, because I can't stop to answer them, but I appreciate the input. All right, okay, we're back on it again. All right, let me see. So alternative. As I found in the, I went on the browser and I looked in to get an internet definition in the adjective form, not the noun form, but what it did is it talked about, it said, employing or following non-traditional, unconventional ideas, methods, etc., existing outside the establishment. And I found that very interesting a type of wording, because that's what these alternative lifestyles try to introduce. Not only in the world to get the allowance and get the acceptance, but they try to creep in all vain, especially trying to get in Israel and pollute and cause the land to be defiled. So I think we're going to get on with the word. Oh, glory to the King. Yeah, the devil is a lie. Isn't that the truth? All righty. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verses 10 through 21. 10 through 21. Deuteronomy 29, 10 through 21. All right, and this is what Moshe is declaring before the people of the Most High. And he says, starting in verse 10, you stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh the Elohim, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of the wood unto the drawer of the water. So in these two verses here, we're seeing that everybody is included in what is about to be spoken. What Moses wants everybody to hear, there's no exceptions. This is for the ears of all Israel. Verse 12, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with Yahweh the Elohim and into his oath, which Yahweh the Elohim maketh thee with this day. So I want you to pay attention. these are the things that I'm going to talk to you about that has already happened, that you all are going to be joined together in me in this covenant, in this agreement, because I'm a Yah of holiness, I'm a Yah of righteousness, I'm a Yah of truth, purity, and I expect my people to represent the same standard of holiness. That he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, not like the world, but a special people, pulled out just for him, separate, peculiar, unique from the rest of the world. And that he may be unto thee Elohim, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. Interesting statement. But with him that standeth here with us this day before Yahweh the Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Now he's talking about all of us, talking about everybody that wasn't around to hear the actual word, but they still are significant because we are Israelites. And so these covenants, everything that has to do with the covenant, the agreement that our forefathers made, are upon us, and we agree to the same thing, even though we weren't there to hear the words ourselves. We get to read them. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And of course, we know this. We know the history. We know what happened because it has been written for our learning, for our admonition, for our understanding what to do and what not to do. And you have seen their abominations and idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which are among them. I mean, everybody that has their understanding opening, everybody that has the knowledge of the truth, that can see the light and has come to the light and coming out of the darkness, they've seen all these abominations. We can remember all the abominations that were in the other nations, of their idols and their wood and their stone, their silver, their lifestyles, their choices, their degradations, their sin, their wickedness. Verse 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe, anybody, no exclusion, everybody that's was told that this covenant, the words of this covenant at that very time, and even for those that weren't there, for those of us now that get to hear it, get to read it, get to understand it, get to know that it's implied to us too, whose heart turneth away this day from Yahweh the Elohim to go and serve the Elohims of these nations, that there should be among you a root that bear the gall or wormwood. Okay, and serving the gods of the other nation is basically giving approval and practice to the ways of those nations, all the accepted practices of these other gods. That's why our Elohim warned us not to turn away from him, because we would go back, or we would allow, we don't physically even have to leave the assembly or the people. We can invite that type of lifestyle, that heathen pagan understanding, right into the midst of us while we're a part of the assembly, while we're in the midst of the people of Yah. These gods of the pagan nations will promote and accept unnatural relations that acknowledges marriages, quote, between the other living things other than a man and a woman, that persecutes those that would speak against such wicked sickness and atrocities. Boy, I butchered that up. But basically saying that these governments, these liberals, these millennials, these college-educated people now that have accepted such sicknesses and have deemed certain lifestyles, quote, alternative lifestyles, LGBTQ, all that other stuff, all that sick and depraved stuff, have accepted it and try to promote it and push it. That's what the other pagan nations do, but of course that's what is not allowed in Israel. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Simply meaning that those, even though they are aware of the covenant, know the strength of the covenant, understand the covenant, have decided within themselves to totally put that off to the back, disregard it, and tell themselves, well, this is because I believe this way, because this seems acceptable in my sight, I'm just going to be at peace about it. I'm going to allow myself to walk in the imagination of my heart, and you're going to find the same reflection of understanding in Paul's writing in Romans. It was the same mindset that Paul warned about, that imagination of the heart. And add drunkenness to thirst, make yourself more disconnected from the ways of Israel so you can be more accepting of stuff that is totally antichrist and abominable to the Most High. And this is interesting. I put a note in my... So what I did is I was sitting there as I was going through the study the other day and just adding stuff to it. I typed this in the Google search bar, right? I typed in condemnation of lesbianism in the Bible. And you know what came up? Nothing to do with condemnation. Everything that came up, at least on the first page, was everything from these so-called, quote, Christian ministries, from these advocates, was everything that was promoting all this type of lifestyle. There was nothing in there about condemnation. So that already, well, we already know what the face of social media involves. It's a bunch of brainwashing, mind control, reconditioning, desensitizing to morality, all that stuff. But I was like, wow, I was just like, check this out. There was nothing to do with condemnation at all. Everything had to do with justifying the acceptance of these abominations before the Most High. All right, verse 20. Yahweh will not spare him, but then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. What, the one that says he's going to turn away from the covenant, he is going to allow these imaginations to enter in, these ideas, these thought patterns, these acceptances, because it's not written down exactly, or we don't see it verbatim in there, because I think it's acceptable. Yah didn't, so-called condemn, and it's okay for me to do, right? So, and then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and Yahweh shall blot out his name from under heaven. That's how critical it is to accept these lies, to inherit these lies, to believe these lies, to promote them, and to actually not speaking against those that actually have this kind of intent, actually have this alternative lifestyle. And Yahweh shall separate him unto the evil out of all the tribes. You want it, you want a part of it, you believe it to be so, you accept it, I'm going to turn you over, right over to it, and even get you more in a greater delusion, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. All right, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 1, 2, and then 7. And again, all we're doing is going over how it was established in the beginning, how Yah set us out as a special people, commanded us not to go after what the other nations are doing, what the other nations accept, what they practice, their standards, their decisions, whatever. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh the Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So all these alternative lifestyles and all these actions and all these justifications are all connected directly to a bondage, because that is Egypt. That is perversion. That is the manner and practice of the other nations. In verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh the Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And the reason I put that in there, and then the original, what I sent, the content to this woman, is the fact that these people these women that talked to her were called, the name of Yahshua. Hey, thank you, Brother Sean. Appreciate it. Brother Sean's up there posting that stuff. The scriptures and stuff. Thank you, sir. And so, because they were trying to take the name of Yah and apply their understanding or their sick, lustful desires in the name of polygyny, in the name of being called Israelites, and actually putting Yah's name to it. So they took his name in vain, and they're going to get their name blotted out of the book of life, for actually promoting and believing such things, and then trying to spit in the ears of others. All right, taken. This is from the Scriptures version. I don't know if you have that, Brother Sean. If you do, great. If you don't, you can use King James. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32, the end of the chapter. Romans 1, 21 through 32, to the end of the chapter. All right, and we've heard this a lot of times, but, you know, this is, you know, Paul, knowing he was a, you know, he's a scribe of the law. He was a scholar of the law. He was an expert in the law. And so for him, in order for him to write this to the church at Rome, he had to have an understanding of what was there, even though it may not have been written, or what was the intent. See, what people, when they try to justify this stuff, it really wasn't necessary for a lot of this stuff to be included, because they already had an understanding as a culture, as a people, our forefathers, that this stuff was unacceptable. I mean, it just wasn't in the natural order of things, or it was so unsensible. It was so foreign to the thought that it was just something that they didn't even really need to hear, have it written down, because they already knew that it was just wrong by nature, if I can use that. I mean, I'm talking about all of it, but even the forms of lesbianism. All right, verse 21, because although they knew Elohim, so right away at the very beginning, Paul is making it known that they actually had a knowing who Yah was. They knew who he was. They did not esteem him as Elohim, or their Elohim, or the Yah of Israel, nor gave thanks for the knowledge that he was the Yah of Israel, that he's the one that opened their understanding, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. So again, that's what I said back earlier in Deuteronomy when it was talking about that the imaginations of their heart. Paul's lining this up perfectly with Romans when they said they're going to have peace, they're going to walk in the imagination of their own heart, they had drunkenness to thirst. We're seeing the same exact speech right here. They became vain in their reasonings and their imaginations, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they got the answers. You know, they have all the reasoning, the logic, and the ideology. They turn it into a doctrine to try to make it acceptable in the ears of the people. You know, the world's easily won over, but more important, devil's target is on Israel, trying to get them to pollute themselves, defile themselves, to be an affront towards a all-loving and pure Elohim who hates sin. They claim themselves to be wise, and they actually became fools. In all their wisdom, they became fools. In all their justification, and all their rioting, and all their boasting, and all their reasonings, they became fools. And they changed the esteem, which is the excellence or the preeminence of the incorruptible Elohim, into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed beasts and reptiles. And what Paul is saying, that prior to the fall, or prior to Eve's transgression, man was incorruptible. They were in a perfect state before the fall. They were in immortal position, but when sin entered in, they became corruptible. So they're trying to bring Yah down to that same area of poison, of impurity, of defilement that is in found in corruptible man, and of the birds and four-footed beasts, and of reptiles. Therefore, Elohim, because they did all this, because they became vain in their reasonings, because they turned their back on the Most High, because they became wise in their own eyes, because they claimed themselves to be wise, because they brought Yah down at the same level of man and removed his deity, and removed his purity, removed his holiness, and made it on the same level as man would allow in the corrupt mindset. Yah, seeing all this, knowing all this, back then and now and then, you know, in present, Yahweh gave them to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts. This is what they desired. This is something they wanted. So they were going to explain it away that the best that they could, these unnatural relationships, these things that were not created from the beginning, they were going to do whatever they could in order to have that lust that was acting in their heart. They were going to promote this, push it. And we all know this by now. When people go to you, to one another, with these alternative ideas, these alternative doctrines, the alternative thought, the reason they go to you is because they need strength. They need somebody to agree with what they believe in order to give them more credibility. So, hey, so-and-so believes, well, so-and-so thought I was right. And all that does is keep growing and growing. That's actually working the spirit of Diotrephes. The brothers that actually challenged that, you know, Diotrephes, he doesn't receive the brethren, but he received those that actually will stand up and agree with what he has to say. to uncleanse in the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves. So we're coming into, there could have been a whole bunch of things that Paul was talking about, but he was focusing on one area here. He was trying to bring out the one area of the sexual immorality that was happening. Out of all the other things, this is the thing he's focusing on. He could have picked 1,000 other things, but this is the thing that he really needed people to understand, not only then, but what had happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future. And, you know, so far and up to this point, the Apostle Paul, he makes no distinction of who the them or they are in respect to gender, meaning by default this means men or women, because we know that in the Word it's specifically, like I said earlier, talks about mankind, lying with mankind, meaning two men, and laying down with a beast, and you know, incest, and I think it's Leviticus 18 that talks about this. But right here he's talking about, there's no gender specific here. He's just talking about people as a whole. And what do these people as a whole do? These ones that became vain in their reasonings, and their heart were darkened. And the ones that claim that this knowledge, this new knowledge that they have, this new idea, they were wise in their own deceits. What was the happening? What was the end of this? Who changed the truth of Elohim into the falsehood, and worshiped and served what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So when you bring Yah down to the image of corruptible man, you know, Yah, that's it's up there on high, that's without beginning of days or end of life, forever, pure, holy, just, true, and right. If you look at that and dwell on that and think on that, it's nearly impossible if you try to bring different ideas and try to remove his holiness if you keep your mind on that, if you know what I'm talking about, if you understand what I'm saying. But when you bring him down to the level of man, you can just about make Yah say or do anything that you want him to say or do, accept anything, any principle, any tradition, any idea of anything that this corrupt mind can actually dream up in the lust of your hearts. Who changed the truth of Elohim into falsehood, and worship and serve what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So the worship turned from Yah and started turning to man, looking at ourselves as the end-all, the know-it-all, the one that decides what is acceptable and not acceptable. And because of this, because of all this stuff, because of the lust of their own hearts, because of the disrespect between their bodies, amongst themselves. And again, it doesn't talk about gender here. It just says between themselves, not being specific. Them, meaning the whole, man or woman. Because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions. For even their women, it's gotten so bad that it even started to affect the women, who probably didn't even have a thought about it. That's why it wasn't written, until it got up to a certain point and it just overpowered them as well. For even their women exchanged natural relations for what is against nature. This is in the Scriptures version. I forget exactly what the King James says, but in the Scriptures it actually says their natural relations for what is against nature. And likewise, the men also, having left natural relations with the woman. Again, that is the natural created, the natural created purpose that Yah made man and woman. He made male and female to be fruitful and multiply. He didn't make two females because it wasn't possible. He didn't, make two males because that wasn't part of the creation. That wasn't there to be able to be fruitful and multiply. That's why Yah made them in the perfect creation. So that was the natural relation. These things that they want to disrespect their bodies amongst themselves, that was going against the natural relation. It's going against the nature that they were created. And likewise, the men also, having left natural relations with the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing indecency, receiving back the reward which is due for their strength. Now, I need you to ask yourself this question, right? How can anybody who justifies sex between two or more women under the guise of polygyny as being tighter, being more joined, being closer, you're going to get, there's going to be a greater soul tie, whatever the sick reason is. How can they openly condemn sex between two or more women outside of the faith or outside of polygyny, out in the pagan nations? How can they openly condemn that? The simple answer is they can't. And Yahweh will judge them for hypocrisy, because they say they're in Christ. They say that they're in Israel. They say they're of Yahshua. Then they're acceptable. But then again, they look at the world and say this lifestyle is unacceptable. But these are hypocrites. By default, these justifiers must accept, by their own admission, they must accept the lifestyle of lesbianism, and you cannot separate the two. They can voice it all day long, but if you're practicing in Israel, you're also accepting what is going out in the nations. Verse 28, and even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind to do that which is improper. Having been filled, okay, we're going down to verse, oh no, we're still on verse 29. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, this is the doorway that opens up to allow all this sickness to come in, because somebody turned to the lust in their own hearts to disrespect the natural created position of their bodies that Yah made at the beginning. They've been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy, murder, fighting, deceit, evil habits, whispers. Look at the door this stuff opens up. Slanders, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, boasters, devisers of evils. They're going to continue to devise more and more wickedness. Disobedient to parents. I mean, look at the, you have some of these parents nowadays, like when I grew up in my generation, my parents, absolutely unforgiving to this stuff. They would speak and condemn any type of this sickness, this act. When I was in school, if you were labeled a homosexual, you can forget it. You were going to get your ass whooped. I'm sorry, but if lesbian, same thing. The parents, they talked. It wasn't even acceptable. Wasn't even they couldn't even grasp it in their mind that somebody would actually do this type of sickness, this type of immoral practice. Men, women doing that which is unseemly. It didn't exist. It was so unpart of the culture, right? And so what do they do? They're going to be disobedient to their parents now. This other generation are the one that came up behind them, because they went out of the ways of the Most High. They brought Yah down to their own way of thinking. Without discernment, covenant breakers, unloving, unforgiving, ruthlessness. Ruthless. Remember Yah said back in Deuteronomy, these are the things that I'm joining to a covenant with you. This is what I expect you to do, and not as the other nations. They've actually broken the covenant. They've walked away from the covenant. Who, though they know the righteousness of Elohim, that one always gets me. They know the righteousness. Do you understand to know? I mean, people that have been a part of this ministry for years and years and years and years, or a lot of them, especially the children that were raised in this type of lifestyle, they know the righteousness of Elohim. They were told it. We lived it. We talked about it amongst ourselves. We demonstrated it. They know the righteousness of Elohim. That those who practice such deserve death. Talking about the ones that have the lust of their hearts, causing themselves to disrespect their bodies amongst themselves. Those that practice such deplorable things deserve death. Not only do the same. Now, what's Paul talking about? Paul is simply talking about what was coming from the Torah. But not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So, again, that's what I said earlier. If you can sit there and try to substantiate and make this acceptable in Israel, whatever, under whatever guise, and try to promote it, you automatically, by default, is also approving those that are not a part of Israel by what they do. You're in approval about these sick practices. Well, I don't know. People are dropping off. I've had like 3 people skip out so far. Well, hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 21. Isaiah 5, 20 through 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Boy, we see that everywhere nowadays, don't we? That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They're trying to change it up, trying to paint it up, trying to put frosting on it, trying to make it acceptable, trying to get everybody that's righteous' approval for immoral practices. One of them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Look, it always comes back. Talks about they're wise in their own eyes. Their own deceit has fooled them. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21. Let me see. 21 through 25. Genesis 2, 21 through 25. Bear his sheets. And the Master Yahweh caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which Master Yahweh had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto man. So we're talking about revisiting that which was established in the beginning. Yahweh didn't bring the woman to another woman. He brought her unto the man, the natural order of creation and procreation. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This is the natural and created order of things. There was never meant to be a union or oneness between a woman and a woman, a man and man, a humankind with a beast ever. The natural order, and that is the abomination. That's where we get the abomination, when mankind gets the idea to go against the created nature, the created purpose. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and he's going to cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man is not going to leave his father and mother and go find another man. That's an abomination. It's against the natural creation. The woman, the daughter, is not going to leave the father's house and go cleave to another woman. That's against the natural created order. It's an abomination. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right, two women having sex with each other can never and will never be recognized in the order of Yahweh as to be having a covenant arrangement. I don't care how hard they tie. Yah is the one that recognizes a covenant. The governments of this world will try to recognize them, but of course they're going against the created natural relations in order to allow this perversion. This is a perversion and confusion against the natural created order of things. Yahweh created women for a man. Quote, sexually. Yahweh created man and women to be joined through a sexual union between them, to become one flesh. Two women, 3 women, 100 women all together engaging in sex with each other is rebellion against their created nature and purpose, and this will bring the judgment of Yah. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. And Yahweh said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh created he him, male and female created he them. And Yahweh blessed them, and Yahweh said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. This is the natural created order of things. Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. And Yah gave the man and the woman that intimacy, that feeling that men and women share between them when they're in intimate ways. That's between the men, that's the only natural order of it, not between woman and woman, man and man, beast, insect, whatever the case may be. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Again, Yahweh created man and woman in his order and commanded them to do what? To be fruitful and multiply. Pastors talked about this, and it has such profound implications when you think about it. You know, it's such a profound statement that, okay, you take all the women. He talked about an island, but I'm thinking you take all the women on this planet, just the women, right, all of them. You place them all separate from men, and you see how well, after they engage in intimacy with each other, how they can be fruitful and multiply. Again, they're going against the created order of things. This is an abomination. There will be no fruit and no multiplication, none. This would actually be the death of the female population. It's really that simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You can totally destroy this understanding of this acceptance of these alternative lifestyles out here just by knowing what the created order of things is. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10 verses 1 through 9. Mark 10 verses 1 through 9. And he arose from thence, and he's talking about Yahshua, and cometh in the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? This is out of the King James. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? So Yahshua, Jesus, is taking them right back to what the Torah, the thing that these men believed that they stood upon, and they thought that they were the experts in. And they replied to Yahshua, and they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of creation, that's the key thing. Jesus brings all the way right from the back, reminding them about the natural created order of things. Yah made them male and female. For this cause, or on account of this, because of this cause, the way that it happened in creation, the way the Father ordered it from the beginning, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The word cleave is the Greek 43:47. It simply means to be adhered to glue to join to. Not two women joining together, not two men joining together, and the rest of the abominations that are outside the natural order, natural relations, natural relationship. But this relationship is the one that Yah recognizes because that's the one he created. And they twain shall be one flesh. This can only happen in the union of a man and a woman. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. Yah won't recognize anything else but this established order. Wherefore Yah hath joined together, let no man put asunder, meaning he doesn't join any alternative anything together. And we know that and understand that, and he can't join it and he won't join it because it didn't create it like that. It would be an abomination. He's not going to go against his law. I hope I'm making sense. I really do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8. Through 11, 1 Corinthians 11, 8 through 11. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Again, Paul is reciting to the church at Corinth, bringing it back to their understanding what the natural order, what the created way was from right from the very beginning, what the natural relationships are. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The woman wasn't created for a woman. The man wasn't created for man. They were created one for each other, a natural, established, created order. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. It's for this cause, being that the woman came from the man and was created from the man, that she should have, of these facts, have her head covered. Because of these things, she should have her head, a covering upon her head. You have to read the entirety of 1 Corinthians 11 to know this too. And this is also an act of submission, not only to Yahweh, but also to the men that are have the authority over her, or the power over her. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. In the Master, this is the only recognized relationship in Yah. He doesn't recognize anything, everything else outside of what his created natural order is. That's the only thing he sees and approves of in righteousness. Genesis chapter 30, verses 4 and 5. And we're just going to show the natural, you know, where it's been written. You don't ever see any examples of two men being together, two women being together, or nothing, but you see many examples of a man and a woman together. Genesis 30, verses 4 and 5. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. This is the natural order of creation. Be fruitful and multiply, which can only take place between a man and a woman, not all the other abominations. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 7. I don't care how close you think it's going to make you, it's still an abomination. It's despicable. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 7. But this was the created natural order. Anything outside of this is impure and it's defiled. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? I mean, he's betrothed a wife. He's married a wife. He didn't go marry another man. He didn't take, go against the created order of things and hath not taken. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man take her. Exodus chapter 21, verse 10. If he take him another wife, meaning another man joining to another wife, just examples of the created order of how it was supposed to be. The polygyny was there to multiply and make the family bigger. Her food and raiment, her duty of marriage shall not diminish. I mean, just simple examples. I mean, I put a lot of this stuff in there just to try to incite some type of just pure understanding. This is the way it was meant to be. All the other stuff is trash. All right, and again, a women's body. You know, the parts of a women's body are only, in the Bible, they're only ever spoken about or written about either being for the man or for infants, for children, when it comes to the anatomy of a woman, such as a woman's breast. They were only meant for men and infants. This is the only example you can find written in the Word, Proverbs 5, chapter 18 and 19. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as thy loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. There's no mention of woman with woman. That was for the man. That's the natural order of things between a husband and wife, not woman and woman. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. Again, the man with the woman, not the woman with the woman. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, 8 through 10. You know, it's even crazy we even have to talk about this in Israel, but for some reason I just felt it needed to be said. So, hey, glory to the king, whatever Yah's intention is. Maybe there's just somebody out there that is dealing with this type of spirit trying to come into their mind and trying to, you know, overtake their senses and challenging and tempting them. And they know it's wrong and they just need some extra edification. I don't know what the reason is for it, but again, it helped this sister out and her husband. So who knows? I mean, that's my hope. It really is. But again, you just have to go focus back on the natural created order of things, and you can downplay everything else. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take with the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like, oh my God, boy, the Bible says this stuff. Yeah, the book don't lie. You got that right, Tobo. It don't lie. It's what it is. It's what it says. And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved that goeth down sweetly, causing lips of those that are asleep to speak. And I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. His desire is towards me to lay between my breasts, not woman with woman. This is man with the woman. Again, the natural created order. Be fruitful and multiply. Psalm chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 22, verse 8 and 9. And he trusted on Yahweh that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Meaning that the other side of a woman's breast are to nourish and breastfeed the children, to bring them up, to strengthen them. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Again, the breasts are not for women for women. They're for a man and a woman, a man's use and an infant's use. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast, the natural created order of things. Ezra, 2 Ezra in the Apocrypha, chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. 2 Ezra 8, 9 through 11. But that which keepeth and is kept shall both be preserved. And when the time cometh, the womb preserved will deliver up the things that grew in it. Okay, yeah, so over the course of time, the woman's going to give birth. For thou hast commanded out of the parts of the body, that is to say, out of the breast, milk shall be given, which is the fruit of the breast. And who's that intended for? It's intended for the newborns coming from the womb of the woman. That the thing which is fashioned may be nourished for a time till thou disposes it to thy mercy. So we had to go back to basic human knowledge and understanding the things that never had to be questioned before, at least, you know, as far as not like they are today. Let me put it like that because it's so pushed and promoted. But it's just the typical, this is just the way that Yah meant it to be. And everything else is just strong delusion. Ephesians chapter 5, we're getting pretty close to the end of this. Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 7. Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 7. Be ye therefore followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Yah for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness, we're going to look up that word, or covetousness, let it not be named once named amongst you as becoming never, don't ever even let it enter into the conversation. Don't ever even let your speech or the speech of others try to provoke you or tempt you to have these things be named among you or to be declared against you. Any fornication, whoredoms, uncleanness, or covetousness. Of course, meaning those things, fornication, covetousness, and all uncleanness is named amongst the Gentiles. But it shouldn't be named against us. It's named and seen and promoted and practiced by the other nations, by the heathen, the pagans, those that are not Yah's people, those that are not set apart, those that came out of Egypt and the lies and the lifestyles and the practices. Don't let that stuff be named amongst against you again. That's the stuff we left behind. We're going back to the purity of what Yah created, the purity before the fall of man. That's where we're getting to. That's what we're attaining to. When the resurrection comes, these corrupt bodies are going to be made incorruptible. We're going right back to the beginning, right when everything was pure in its natural creation. And we need to have that mind now. And stand on that mind. Uncleanness, Greek 167. Uncleanness, physical in the moral sense, the impurity of lustful, luxurious, profligate living of impure motives. So, but fornication and all impure motives, all impurity of lustful actions, all these profligate living. Don't let it name once among you as because you're now saints. And if you look up uncleanness in Thayer definition, the same 160, from the Greek 169, that's what I'm sorry, I didn't finish out. This is Greek 167, and it says it's from the Greek 169 in the Thayer, which means these things which must be abstained from. Uncleanliness must be abstained from. Okay. Still in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning and continuing on in verse 4. Neither filthiness, all these things that we need to should have departed from, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who has an idol, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Yah and his Messiah. Let no man deceive you with vain words, meaning that, well, because it wasn't clearly written. Yeah, hey, bless you, Brother Willie. Glad you can join us. Yeah, they continue to make the Bible fit, and they will, because, like anything, the only credibility that anybody has is contained in the Most High. If they can use his name and try to establish some type of tradition, doctrine, practice, even though it's completely outside and abominable to him, that's the only strength that they have to go on. Even if they get declaration by the government, it's still acceptable. It still ultimately takes the validation from the King of Kings in order to make it acceptable, which ain't never going to happen. And we know that. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of Yah upon the children of disobedience, those that practice lesbianism, homosexuality, bestiality, incest, pedophilia, all these sick practices. Comes the wrath of Yah upon these people. The stuff that is in the world is going to remain in the world that you've been removed from, because you understand what the natural created, pure created order of things were. I should have been using that word all along here, the pure created order of words. That changes even more so, or adds even more impact to what it means, natural relations, pure natural relations. Anything outside of that is impure. I mean, that just stands to reason, right? Be not therefore partakers with them. Be not partakers with whom? The fornicators, the unclean person, the covetous ones, the whoremongers, the idolaters, those engaged in filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. Don't be a partakers with them. That those agents of Satan. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 through 12. And I believe that's it. We're going to end on these three verses. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't want to receive it. It's a proactive, purposeful act to not to receive it, to reject it. So man can stay in his pre-converted paganistic state. And because of this refusal, this act of pure self-will, not being able to save the love of the truth, that the love of the truth says that it's an abomination to go against the pure created natural relations that Yah made in the beginning, the natural order of things, that they might be saved. Might be saved knowing the true knowledge and understanding the purity of that which was from the beginning, and everything that was pure up until today. And for this cause, again, because they receive not the love of the truth, that's the cause, Yah shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and continue to believe this lie. And all liars shall have their place in the lake with burning fire and brimstone, because they made a conscious decision to enter in to this kind of damnable practices. And use, especially using the name of Yah to justify it. Well, it's not written there. We can't find it in there. Damn, you stand before the Most High in judgment, and you're going to try and throw that up in his face? It ain't going to happen. And for this cause, Yah shall send them strong news, and they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. All righty, brothers and sisters. Oh, one other thing I was going to mention, too, and I was thinking about this. This really changes what we understand as natural affection. Natural affection is a man for a woman, right? That's the natural, peer-created affection. These unnatural affections are everything else that's outside of the natural, peer-created order of things, like lesbianism and homosexuality and all that garbage and filth, which we've been removed from. I mean, who was that? I actually was talking to somebody today on the phone, and they were really new. And he said, man, really? Are we supposed to give, you know, because we were talking about the sign of the times, right? And, you know, he just wanted to make sure this man, what he was actually viewing and seeing the change in the world was actually right. Yeah, it's a sign of the times. And I said, Pastor Dahl has said it many times. He thanks Yah for the homosexual. And the guy's like, what? Really? Yeah, I said, because that tells us that we're in that sign of the times, that we're actually in that time. Not that we're, you know, accepting of that lifestyle. Not at all. We condemn it because our Yah condemns it. But the fact of the matter is we're thankful that we are able to see that. And he's like, oh, man, yeah, that makes sense. So, hey, glory to King. Anyway, hey, I appreciate everybody sticking this out and through all the ups and downs and the technical glitches and everything else. I appreciate it. Man, it's Super Bowl night, huh? Oh, well. We heard some of the brothers, they were all going for pass or two, going for Tom Brady, the go-to guy. They call him the GOAT or something. I don't know. We'll see. All I know is it's rigged. I believe it's rigged. Big money. The money's too big not to make it rigged. Anyway, hey, bless y'all. Hope you got something out of this study. I really do. I know as Israel, we already understand that these are abominable practices, but the point is they still try to creep in. They will really try to creep in. We already have experienced this in the past, where this stuff has taken actual people out of the ministry because they bought into the lie. And that's how powerful, bless you, Brother Willie. You know, I lost my train of thought. Well, glory to the King anyway. Hey, y'all have a blessed week. And hey, you continue to, you know what Pastor said, you really want to be unselfish, get an intercessory prayer. And remember those that have the rule of authority over you in the leadership. And, you know, I'm speaking primarily of Pastor Dahl and the elders and on that. But, again, pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, that wasn't left out either. So it's about actually spending time before the Most High, intercessory. You know, I understand, you know, once in a while you got situations you have to talk to Yah about, but even the greater good when a man lays down his life for his own friends, meaning that, you know, he'll step aside himself in his situations and lift up prayers for somebody else, and that is the love of the Most High. So, anyway, bless y'all. Passover is right around the corner. What is it, 7 weeks out or something? It's my Yah. I mean, it's still brown here, but anyway, y'all be blessed, be encouraged. Keep a sober eye out. You know, Satan, our adversary, is going about seeking to devour whomever he can through whatever way. And as we get more wise to his ways, more cunning to his ways, he's going to even bring out the more sinister and sneaky practices. So, anyway, bless y'all. Be encouraged. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Much shalom.